Generally on Sundays, I try to find something unique to Sunday to post on the parish's Facebook page, and along with it, some piece of artwork that will kind of go along and enhance it. And so after I'm finishing all of my morning prayers, about 3 o'clock, I'm going around and I'm looking on this one website that has nice paintings on it. And I found one from the mid-1500s. It depicts Jesus sitting on a throne chair. His right foot is resting on the head of a serpent. His left foot is resting on a skull, and cradled in his left arm is a palm frond. The title of it is Christ Triumphant. The palm frond is used often in that old style art as a sign of triumph over something. And so what is he triumphed over? That's where the two things his feet are resting on come into play. The serpent, he's triumphed over sin. His left foot resting on the skull, he has triumphed over death. Christ has triumphed over sin and death by his suffering, death, and resurrection from the dead. Now, who does that impact? Why am I looking at you? Because it had an impact on all of us, hasn't it? Hopefully. He has triumphed over sin and death. And it's that message that Paul feels such a strong compunction from within his heart that he needs to get out and preach. This proclamation of the gospel is letting people know, here's what Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, has come to do and has past tense, accomplished for us. He has conquered sin and death, and it's not just, you know, he had no need of it. He's God, and he has no sin, but he did it for us. So Paul needs to proclaim this. He cannot not proclaim this because it has such a potential impact for all of us. Why did I use the word potential? You know, here's where free will comes into play. We have to allow it to happen. We have to have the humility to seek it. That's where the gospel comes in and has something interesting in it. The Simon being referenced to in here is the one whose name later gets changed to Peter. Did you know he had a mother-in-law? Most people, that just kind of flits on past and we don't quite grab it fast enough, because literally it's the only mention in the entire New Testament that Peter had a mother-in-law, which means he had at one point a wife. Who, you know, scripture scholars studying that from early centuries down to the period present, she had at some point along the way before he becomes one of the 12 following Jesus, his wife has passed on. But here's something that testifies to Peter's character. Where is she living? They're in Peter's house, right? So he has invited his mother-in-law into his home and is taking care for her. And so when they arrive, you know, the group, they're traveling together, they stop at Peter's house and they tell Jesus, Peter's mother-in-law is sick in bed with a fever. Not usually something that's just all that dramatic or life-threatening, but notice how Jesus treats it. It's just like, oh, that's not important. Don't bother me. I'm busy. No, he immediately goes over to her, and he does something that unfortunately is not well translated in the scripture passage for today. The original Greek, he just reached out and helped her up. Literally, he reached out and raised her up, and is using the same word that you find for his raising of the daughter of Jairus, the synagogue official, for his raising of the widow's only son, and for his raising of Lazarus, who'd been in the tomb for 4 days. So it means more. He just took her hand and said, hey, come on, let's get up out of bed. It's like he raised her up, which is what Jesus is intending to do for all of us, because what does sin and death do to us? What does sin and death do to us? Does it leave us healthy and in good condition? Especially the death part. But sin has a negative impact on our being able to do what Paul knows that he has to do in his heart, because it was not just Paul's own exclusive mission to go out and proclaim that Jesus has triumphed over sin and death by his suffering, death, and resurrection. That task, that mission of proclaiming that Jesus has accomplished that is one that from our baptism onward rests upon all of... Why am I pointing around at everybody? That means it's our task also by our lives to be proclaiming by the way in which we live that Jesus has triumphed over sin and death. Which means we need to acknowledge that he needs to triumph over our sin as well. Which means we need to be humble enough to seek that mercy and forgiveness that he has paid for with his own precious blood. That triumph over sin and death is meant to, A, touch us, so that we can then go out and with our lives, our lifestyle, touch others with that same special gift of grace that rests upon, I will repeat this until the day I die, it is a mission that rests on every single last one of us. He uses the sickness of a fever as a way of trying to symbolize what sin does. Very many times when you see some sort of sickness being healed in the scriptures, particularly New Testament, is being used to symbolize the debilitating effect that sin has upon us. And it means all sin has upon us. There's no such thing as, well, this is just a little thing and it's not a big deal. We should never underestimate the negative impact that sin has on our lives, because even the little ones have a significant impact on our being able to faithfully bear witness to Christ. Even the littlest ones that we think are little. And that's usually our trying to absolve ourselves, because they're usually not so little. We need to let him put his hand out and raise us up from the death that sin brings into our lives. We need to allow him to raise us up so that we can all complete our mission while we're here on earth still of making Christ known with our lives. We all have that evangelizing role to fulfill with our lives. And why am I bringing this up now? I just want everybody to feel really gloomy on a Sunday morning, right? Or do you think maybe there's more to it? Do you have any idea how close we are to Lent? Some of you are looking at me like, Lent? Yeah. Ash Wednesday is February the 14th. It's not just Valentine's Day this year. Which, by the way, is a timely reminder. Ash Wednesday is what kind of a day? I'm hearing some of it. Fast and abstinence. So if you had plans for going out to dinner that Wednesday, you might want to rearrange the date a little bit. Because going out for dinner on Valentine's Day might break that fast and abstinence rule that starts off the beginning of the Lenten season. Word to the wise, right? So, you know, maybe you want to reschedule it to Fat Tuesday the day before. And in the meantime, what do we not do often enough? How often do we contemplate where we are in our life in Christ? We just keep wandering from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We keep on going on and on and on and on and on and not pausing to let ourselves reflect on how much of this and how much of this have we actually allowed to penetrate and have an impact in our hearts, in our minds, our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. I mean, literally, are any of us perfectly living this? Not a rhetorical question. Are any of us perfectly living the gospel? Are any of us fully cooperating with the powerhouse of grace that comes to us every single time we receive the Eucharist, remembering that it is Christ's body, blood, soul, and divinity, his full presence coming into us in the Eucharist? That is an unimaginable powerhouse of grace, and too often we get so blasé about it. We take it for granted. We don't even take it at all, in the sense of really acknowledging what we're doing and who it is that we are receiving. And so this triumph of Jesus over sin and death doesn't really have a chance, because we don't give it a chance to fully penetrate into us. And Jesus wants to raise us up so that all of this has a full chance to make a difference in our lives, so that we can then fulfill our mission, that this might have an impact on the lives of those we encounter, no matter who they are, no matter where they are. We are meant to have that much of an impact on the world around us, and not just wander blindly through with no clue of what we're doing, where we're going, and why we're here. We are here so we can be empowered to, like Paul, have this driving impulse within us that we can't not let Christ be known by the way we live our lives. Our lives need to be a living gospel, carrying the living presence of Christ, no matter where we are, where we go, who we're with. Take some time between now and Ash Wednesday to enter fully into Lent, that all of this might really make a difference in our lives, that we might make a difference in this world. It needs it.